Let's start with Rosemary Erickson, Davis, South Dakota native. What's a good girl like this doing in a place like this? She wrote the book, Serial Killers and the Aftermath, and you were telling me you're doing another.
That's correct.
Tell us about that. I guess that's coming out maybe in 19 or 20?
Oh, for sure, by 19. It's Mass Shootings and Other Mayhem.
I'm really sad that you have enough material to write these books.
I do. I have plenty of case material to work with.
You know, you have testified as a witness in mass murder cases, but today we want to talk a little bit about the criminal mind. You ready for this?
Yes.
All right. Most recently, 10 dead. Santa Fe, Texas, in a school shooting last Friday. The suspect left some signs online, and as you know, Born to Kill was worn underneath a trench coat. That seems a little bit out of line on the Texas Gulf Coast.
Yes, and those are the kind of see something, say something signs that we have to keep in mind in schools and other places, too. It truly does take a community to prevent these kinds of things from happening.
You know, my mom would put it pretty simple. Where have we gone wrong? Whether it's in our family or nationwide.
It's a combination, and I think we make a big mistake if we point to any one thing, but we need to take everything into consideration as far as the prevention of these kinds of events.
Now, last two shootings, many of these take their own lives. Didn't happen this time. They were taken into custody. Your thoughts?
The important fact about taking them into custody is that we will learn something from them. And I have always, all of my research has been based on talking to the perpetrators, that is, talking to the people who do these kinds of violent acts, and learn from them why they did it and what would have kept them from doing it.
When you have this kind of a case, you have media frenzy. There's nobody talking false news. They're talking about facts. Give us the facts. And we got a lot of that. And we had lots of stories about a girl that some said was jilted, said no to him, and then spared her from being shot. Now, it's hard to prove any of that. And if you were going in as somebody to handle this case, how would you determine if it was authentic or not?
Well, that is exactly the first thing you do, is separate the facts from the fiction. So when I get material in a case, I never assume that any of it is correct, but try to get evidence for all of the facts, or quote facts, have been presented. And this is especially true, say, for example, with the Las Vegas mass shooting. At first, they came out with exactly what they thought happened. Now the FBI is saying they aren't going to come out with a report until October. So in other words, they're going to spend months looking at each factoid, as we say, about what might have happened in that incident.
Being an old news junkie, an old news consultant, it bothers me a little bit. This happened at the end of school. We still have schools in session, and we have copycats saying, look at the notoriety that this killer got. Look at the notoriety the school got, and look at the pain I caused the community. What's to keep those involved from being able to keep their schools safe?
Well, that's where we get to the see something, say something. And I don't think we put enough emphasis on the students themselves in terms of reporting each other, showing concern for one another, and letting the school authorities know if they're concerned. And, you know, it's a very touchy subject with kids, but especially teenagers, in terms of ratting on people and that sort of thing. But we have to encourage students to take care of each other and help us all in terms of reporting. They're the ones that know best what's going on and who's having problems, who's having mental problems or depression issues. And toward the same end, we need to add school resources to deal with it.
She's Rosemary Erickson. She's now a PhD forensic sociologist. You are a expert witness in, I believe, four cases that are pending or have taken place. Share with us where that's at.
Well, specifically the four cases, because I always have a lot of cases, but these that I wrote about in my book, Serial Killers and the Aftermath, are four serial killer cases. And it's kind of important for the audience and all of us, I think, to be educated about the different types of killings. And serial killers are those that pick out people and kill them over a period of time and a number of different people. Whereas the mass shootings are doing it all at one time. And within the mass shootings, it's critical to differentiate between school mass shootings and other kinds of mass shootings.
All right, let's differentiate, as you say, right now. The school shootings are far different mindset than those of the Vegas case, which is still out there. We still haven't seen any resolution. Nothing has really moved forward.
That's exactly true. And the other kind of mass shooting cases that were the most common type were domestic disturbances brought into the workplace. I had one, for example, in Miami where a jilted boyfriend went in and killed all seven women working in the kitchen of a restaurant. They had nothing to do with it. They just happened to be a coworker. So that's another kind of mass shooting, which that has a very different mindset from a teenager.
We're going to stay away from the gunfight because that's a case all its own. But there are people out there that say, why weren't we reading the tea leaves? Why weren't we following along? Why didn't we know? Or are there so many cases out there and so many tea leaves, it's hard to be able to make sure we're keeping someone away from being the next mass murderer?
I think that's my point about everyone needs to be involved. And there's a sociological theory called coaching, which is that every child can be saved by some person. That might be literally a football coach, a basketball coach, or it may be a teacher, it may be an uncle or a stepfather. But there's one person out there that can save each child, and that's what we have to concentrate on, is save each child.
So, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, why are you here? All these places you've lived, and you were mentioning to Andy from Kello FM this morning, all the places you'd lived, D.C. and Seattle and San Diego, and I'm not sure where else, but you're here now. Why choose Sioux Falls?
Well, one of the reasons I left Miami, the most recent place that I lived, was because the crime was getting a little too close to where I lived and the people that I was studying and the gang members and so on. So the reason to choose Sioux Falls is that it's safer. And say, for example, as far as serial killers, South Dakota is the safest state in the Union from that.
So we should be happy with what we've got?
Yes, and we should just continue to keep it safe. And the key thing for Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and still is the rural community of everybody knows what everybody is doing, and they keep track of each other and help each other out.
As we listen to the sheriff's department, law enforcement, more and more gangs moving into this city, is that a formula for something that could cause us trouble down the road as we get over 200,000?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's the growth in population that leads to the increase in crime. But if we can keep the community values that have kept us strong to this point, that will definitely help. And we have a great police department, and all of their investigations will make a difference.
All right. The book that you have in front of you, it's a little scary when I look at that book. And I've loaned it out to some people that say, oh, my gosh, look at that cover. I can't sleep at night. Is that meant to do that, make people think?
Well, the cover, to describe it, does have something that looks an awful lot like blood on it, and it's called Serial Killers in the Aftermath. It's my book. I wrote it. When I took it on the airplane, I turned it upside down myself.
Really?
Yes.
So when we talk about this on radio, and you talk about this on a stand, do you fear for your own life?
Oh, there have been instances, yes, and I always tell my husband he's not there as a support, he's there as my bodyguard.
So is he a good bodyguard?
So far.
I guess we would know if we heard the story that you were no longer with us, right?
That is correct. So I'm trying to stay safe just like the rest of us need to.
You've told the story about Detroit. Please repeat that. And I know you've had some other close cases. Can you kind of share that this morning?
Well, I'd gotten in a cab in Detroit, and the back window was blown out. I hit the floor and took my cell phone and called my husband immediately and said the back window was just blown out of the cab, and he said, is your luggage okay?
Your luggage okay?
Yes.
What was in the luggage? A trench coat?
I had new luggage. And he's like, is your luggage okay? But then he realized the seriousness of it. And I want to say that what the cab driver said is, he turned around and he said, who would be shooting at us? And I said, I don't know. I just got here.
So how do we get you in front of more people? Because you and I talked about a service club, and you said, I don't do service clubs. What else do you not do?
Well, I'm at the stage of my career where I want to write, and I want other people to use my writing and have them get it out to the public, because I have a lot more that I feel I need to share so that people know what other people are capable of and what we need to do to change it.
But we put a forum together with multiple people. You might be able to do that in front of a service club?
I probably could.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, everybody wants to hear you. And it was like, why wouldn't she come before a service club? I said, because she's got other things to do. She's still writing books. She's this expert witness. And if anybody wants to follow your standard as far as career field, should they want to do that? Is it a career field that if you're not scared of having a windshield shot out in Detroit or what else ever might happen to you, is it something that people should look at? And if so, why?
Well, I talk to a lot of young people. I mean, young people who come up to me and say, I want to be you. And a lot of young girls especially are very interested in going into, you know, it might be FBI profiling. It could be any number of things. Mine is research. I'm not a hero in terms of going out and, you know, saving people's lives that way. But I want to do it through research and teaching people how to be safe. So I think there's a whole need for that in the future.
Now, you didn't escape some of the Me Too type things early in your career. If you look on, I think it's page 42. I don't know what page it's on. I'm sure it's not. But you were actually one of those that worried a little bit about the men that were in the business. Has that changed today? Have you feel like the movement that's moved forward has put this country in a different situation? Are we on a different page?
I don't think we've made nearly the advancements that I would like to have seen done, because I was in on those early days of it, and we still have a long way to go in terms of sexism and harassment in the workplace.
I'm not going to ask you where you live, but where can they find the book?
The book is at Zambros in Sioux Falls. It's at Barnes & Noble, and it's also available online in, with Amazon, and it's called Serial Killers and the Aftermath.
So the other side that we didn't talk about, you become a special witness. What's the exact word, an expert witness for the serial killing? Could be on either side of the fence.
Yes, and what my suits are called civil suits, whereas, for example, a woman is raped in a hotel, she'll probably sue the hotel for not providing adequate security. And then I'm called in on one side or the other to see whether or not she could have been kept safe.
Now, I have to tell you about Rosemary. She sends me a note after looking at the questions. Bill, they're good questions. Then we changed the questions a little bit this morning. And then she said, we'll have fun. I'm not sure what I say to somebody that handles all these kind of murder cases and says we're going to have fun. What should I have thought?
I wondered about that, too, because I guess what you have to understand about me is that this is my stuff and this is what I like to do.
You're very special. You are right here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Davis still talks about you. As I told you, a lot of the people that I'm around the table with said, well, I'm related to her. I'm related to her. And she's a good lady, so we appreciate what you do. I have a hunch you're going to be back.
Thank you. I'll look forward to it.